News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, hosting Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside the range of our AM, FM capability here at WVNN, which is kind of hard, that means you have to truly be outside of most of North Alabama and Southern Tennessee, then just know that you can click on your internet on your smartphone and go straight to www.rightsideradio.org. And next thing you know, you click listen live, and wherever you is, there we is. So I'm just saying, we got people in multiple states. We got people all over this state who are way outside of our AM, FM capability, but they listen to the show daily, and they're part of our great audience. So anyway, appreciate it. Take a listen. Listen live on rightsideradio.org. Hey, Copper, that last section I just did there, and I'm going to expand more on Constitution stuff, but... Mm-hmm. That last section I just did there, your thoughts, strict construction versus, you know, being able to have a growing or a flowing interpretation of the Constitution.
Definitely more of the mind that we should interpret it the way the original audience interpreted it. Now, I agree that circumstances can change, but that doesn't mean the core concepts and the way that we interpret those should change. They understood human nature very well, and they kept the documents broad enough that it would apply to situations going forward, understanding what humans are prone to do, what governments are prone to do. So even if we've made changes like, you know, women can vote now, which is great, we shouldn't just decide we can interpret it however we want, whenever we want.
No, and I think, I mean, your example there of suffrage and of women's rights to vote, I mean, it seems wacky that was ever had to be a thing, but you know what I'm saying? But they took an amendment to the Constitution, apparently. Yeah. But the idea that we can amend the Constitution through a certain means is fine. I mean, that's part of the process. And if there's X number of votes in the Congress, and then they send it out for ratification to the states, and it's ratified, well, like it or not, that's the process. But it's when the courts grab hold of it, and you find out that you have a judicial presence that doesn't like, say, I don't know, the right to bear arms, or they don't believe that they should have any issue with curtailing your speech. You know, those things right there they can't just interpret them. They've got to, I would hope, they've got to take it at face value and move into a strict construction or a constrained interpretation of the Constitution. Anyway, but there's plenty more. Hey, by the way, I know we had a caller call in a moment ago. Just so you know, we're going to take calls a little bit later. I got to get through some material that I've got prepared for the show. And don't mind your calls, and I don't mind people calling in to even differ if they want to. But just understand that we're going to take those calls a little bit later. Give me some time to work through some content here, and then I'll have plenty for you to call in about. I guarantee. Well, listen, so lots of things are happening right now. And the constitutional aspects of what I just discussed, they are very evident in the Biden administration right now. I mean, it is every day right now we're seeing the Biden administration, the executive branch, assume the opportunity to violate the Constitution. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like heavily. Like it's their right to presume upon the nation their will. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, what's funny is I actually read that the founders took the concept of a three-branch government straight from Scripture. That was kind of interesting. And I have to go back and look that up now. I'm going to wind up Googling it during the next break. But they wanted the opportunity for checks and balances. They wanted the opportunity for one branch to have the ability to sort of have its own role, but at the same time be able to check the other branch. In other words, like Congress can pass the laws, but they have to be signed into law by the president. And then they have to be governed in accordance with the Constitution by the courts. And then in the absence of constitutional guarantees or statutory law, the courts can interpret, but if they have a constitutional provision or a statute, they have to stick with it. And all these branches of government were set up for a reason. And yet the Biden administration keeps presuming that they can go ahead and move forward with actions. Sometimes, like the eviction moratorium most recently, sometimes even just saying it out loud. Yeah, well, you know, we understand this may not pass constitutional muster, but you did it anyway. And that just boggles my mind. Like, you know, you would love to believe that they had good intent with a lack of understanding, not not ill intent coupled with a full understanding that they shouldn't do it, but they did anyway. And when they actually admit they understand the constitutional questions exist, then it just defeats the whole purpose of having the three-party or the three-branch government. I mean, they're just literally saying, yeah, you know what? We decided that we are both the Congress, the courts, and the executive all in one place. That's called monarchy. That's called tyranny if you get down to it. And we have got to watch out for this. I mean, we're seeing it on a near daily basis. In a minute, I'm going to come back to an article by Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley is a Fox News contributor. I believe he's a Harvard Law professor, maybe Georgetown. I got to look back and see. But he wrote a great article about the fact that Biden's constitutional workarounds seem to indicate that he has no respect for governance. I mean, you would think somebody who's been up there, well, you know what? Maybe I was about to say this wrong. I was about to say, you'd think somebody that's been up there for 47 years in D.C. would have more respect for the system, but maybe 47 years of being a bureaucrat has given Biden a complete disdain for what the rights of the common man really are. I don't know. I can't see in his head. Sometimes I wonder if he can see in his head. But truth be told, the Biden administration has been doing this. Now, let me say this, though. It also happens at the state level. I take real issue with the fact that even our own Governor Kay Ivey, and by the way, I'll agree with her when she does something right, like shutting off this extended or enhanced unemployment compensation early. I thought that was wise. But when she does something wrong, I'll call that out too. And it was wrong last year for her to choose winners and losers and shut down businesses in the pandemic and leave certain ones open. That just defies common sense. And I think it was an unjust taking by government. I'll talk about that more in a minute too. Folks, there's plenty more where that came from. I got my notions, but they're usually solid conservative and, you know, just plain right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back after this. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey folks, we are on live every single day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. Love having this opportunity. Like I said earlier, it's an honor to have this platform, and I got a huge audience out there, Right Side Ruffians, who love conservatism and what it stands for, and I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate the fact that this show has been received so well. As we're pushing 2.5 months of Right Side Radio, I am getting the biggest kick out of this. And if you had asked me a year ago, hey Phil, would you ever have a radio show, I'd say what? And here we are, and loving doing this. But I was talking earlier about the constitutionality of executive orders and of executive action by the Biden administration. And I also mentioned, by the way, and I'll come back to this because I know I was getting close to a break. Let me finish up something I was saying earlier too. Look at it at the state level. Thank you, Copper. I appreciate that. Copper's giving me the high signs right now because we've been doing 2.5 months. Well, it works because of you too, Copper. Just so you know, I am fully aware of your, hey, thank you. How about that?
Good.
All right, enough slapping ourselves on the back. Let's move on. So the reality is, though, the Biden administration, yes, acting unconstitutionally on a daily basis, it seems like, but keep an eye on your own state government, all right? Be aware that state governments can violate your constitutional rights as surely as anybody else can. I think there are aspects of things that happened during the pandemic, even in Alabama, that call to question whether or not someone has suffered under government action. I'll never forget, literally in the middle of the pandemic, when Governor Ivey had shut down certain businesses and declared them, and she later on said she even regretted this, declaring some to be non-essential. Well, I got news. If it was your paycheck, if it was your business, it wasn't non-essential to you. And so some of those have never come back. They've just shut down and gone. But I had a friend of mine call me who owns a jewelry store, actually several small jewelry stores, and he called me one day and he says, Phil, why is it okay that as a small business owner, I had to shut down my jewelry store because apparently I don't know how to clean counters and control the flow. But Walmart's right down the street, and they're wide open, and they've got a jewelry counter and they're selling stuff right now. And I said, I don't have an answer for you. It makes no sense. It's called the government picking winners and losers. Now, let me tell you something that I think is going to wind up sooner or later. There's going to be a legal challenge and it's going to be a look back, and there's a statute of limitations. So if someone's going to do it, they're going to have to do it sometime soon. But the reality is, somewhere down the line, someone is going to file suit against either Governor Ivey or another one, or the state of Alabama, or another one of these states that did this. Even though those states have what the law might call sovereign immunity, they are also not allowed to do certain things, one of which is they're not allowed to be what's called an unjust taking without just compensation. So as an attorney, I'll just tell you briefly what that means is, for instance, eminent domain. They cannot come in and just seize your property. They have to give you a fair market value, which can be contested, but nonetheless, they have to provide you just compensation before they can take your property. Well, there is a version of taking that goes into regulatory taking, all right? Regulatory taking means they enacted certain regulations, and as a result, you suffered losses from it. And for those businesses that went away and never came back, and they lost their livelihood and all their investments, or they had to go into bankruptcy, I would suggest that some attorney somewhere has got to be looking at this and saying, you know what, that restaurant where I used to eat, those folks said that they were willing to sue somebody. We may have to sue the state of Alabama for an unjust taking. They got shut down to the extent that they could never recover and lost everything. Now, folks, listen, executive orders like that mean something. Once again, it matters who you put in office. Do not shrug your shoulders and go, they had an R by their name. You don't have to be. Let me put it this way. It is a vast difference between being a Republican and being a conservative. I say that often on the show, but it is absolutely true. We got a whole bunch of people down there in Montgomery or even up in D.C. that have an R by their name, and they are nowhere near what I would consider to be a conservative. They are willing to go with the winds of change and look at the polls to decide how they should vote and stick their finger up in the air and test the winds. And folks, that is not conservatism. Conservatism is principle-based. And too often our politicians these days have become what I would call transactionally based. What's in it for us? What can I get out of this? How can I help? What can I get from my people? Well, if you stand on your principles, your people always know where we are anyway. But here's the thing. The Biden administration has been doing this on a daily basis. Jonathan Turley, I got paper. Jonathan Turley, who I did check, by the way, he's a law professor at George Washington University. He's got an article that I'm looking at right here. I just downloaded it off of Fox this morning, literally saying that Biden and his aides indicate that they know they are operating outside of constitutional limits, and they don't seem to care. He goes on and talks about the losses that the Biden administration has faced in court in recent months, from abortions to elections to rents. He says Biden is seeking to federalize huge areas to displace state law. And what is most striking, he says, is that Biden and his aides have indicated they know that they are operating outside of constitutional limits. You know, a while ago when I said the Constitution matters, and I believe in judicial constraint and strict construction, well folks, that's for a reason. That is for a reason. And for the one branch of government, the executive, to even know that they are operating outside the constitutional limits and do it anyway is a clear indication they don't care. Whatever they want done is what they want done, and that whole Constitution thing, we need to get some more justices on the court and pack that court and get that changed. Well, even Chief of Staff Ronald Klain, somebody that many of you don't know about, but Ronald Klain is Biden's Chief of Staff. He's one of the chief puppeteers in the background. He admitted that the OSHA rule for this new vaccine mandate, the means by which they're going to enforce the vaccine mandate, was what he called a, quote, workaround of the constitutional limits imposed on federal government. Are you hearing that? The Chief of Staff to the President of the United States said that the most recent executive orders being touted are a workaround of their constitutional limits. And then White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she preferred to call it a pathway. A pathway. We do not have to inform. We don't have the power to inform each American that needs to be vaccinated, she said. But then she followed around by saying, but what we do believe we have is a pathway. What Klain called a workaround. And listen, here's where they're going to have trouble. One of the things that's going to happen right now is you're going to see, go back to the Constitution again. We have a 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment allows states to have a sovereign right in the say and in the enactment of laws within their own borders to benefit the welfare of their citizenry and their property and their own economies. And that state sovereignty, that state's rights is a big deal. It is embedded in our Constitution as the 10th Amendment. In Alabama, just this year, is one of the few states, thank you Senator Arthur Orr and others, who had the foresight to pass a bill, Senate Bill 265. Praise God for this. Senate Bill 265 is the vaccine passport bill, the one that says that no government or education facility or private business can limit your access or your right to services by demanding first to know what your vaccine passport or your vaccine status is. And yet now the Biden administration is demanding that employers and others all mandate vaccination status be disclosed. That is now in contravention of state law. So Alabama's got a leg up. Alabama's got a fight. We can say we have a state law already in place, and all you have is an executive order. Ah, two different things. Executive orders do not carry the power of law. States pass laws. Presidents enact executive orders. If those executive orders are not passed by Congress in a way that trumps state law, then they are invalid, and the court challenge is potentially available just on that issue alone. It all goes back to the Constitution. I'm just going to tell you, folks, this is a growing argument that we're going to have to face. I said when we first started this show that states like Alabama have to be an outpost of freedom. We have to be that place that people can know they can go where there's a wall that prevents federal overreach. I can't tell you how, as an attorney, I can't tell you how many times in recent months I have done a real estate closing or some type of legal transactional document or something else for people who have moved here from places like California because they want to get out and go to a place where they feel reasonably secure that their rights are going to be preserved. And I'm thankful right now that our attorney general stood up yesterday and made some statements that I'll talk about more when I come back. By the way, A.G. Marshall is going to be on the show later this week, we hope. We're working that out with his office right now. But folks, listen, we're going to move to that short break we always have to take right about now. And as we do, just understand this. The Constitution matters. If I could say anything out of today's show, it's that as a conservative, I believe the Constitution has to matter. If you don't think it does, then things like what I just described, like vaccine mandates, executive orders that don't really carry the power of law, they win automatically because nobody cares. Well, conservatives care. Conservatives care. The Constitution does mean something. A little more on this and things more to come. We're going to be talking about some stuff. You're going to be amazed, by the way. Who is funding some of the liberal reporting being done at AL.com? I'll tell you about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and live online at rightsideradio.org, where you can just click listen live, and wherever you is, there we is. Copper, I got caffeine and chocolate. I'm good to go for the next 2 hours. Nice. I am rocking. I know, nice. That's right. That's like the rations for the show, I guess. Right Side Rations. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. Right Side Rations, caffeine and chocolate. That's all you need. What else is there? Well, listen, hey, folks. I got to tell you real quick about my friends over at Otter Creek Farm. Otter Creek Farm is so cool. I mean, it is a place I love to go to. It's an oasis in North Alabama. And it's also, by the way, one of the best wing shooting destinations in the Southeast United States. Featured in Garden and Gun magazine. The grounds are so beautiful. The facilities are so amazing. The chefs there, by the way, are so incredible. And they got the guns and the guides and the dogs. And if you want to go hunt pheasant and quail, or if you just want to have a glass of wine sitting by the infinity pool looking at the sun go down in the distance over the manicured acreage, or, you know, have an incredible meal, I'm just telling you, this place is worth going and checking out. Check out their website, Otter Creek Farm. You can find them at ottercreekfarmstead.com. ottercreekfarmstead.com. It is so worth it. And my friends Frank and Jane run that place, and Charlene and I go out there, you know, quite often. Well, listen, kind of moving through this conversation here. A few other things to think about. executive orders. I said it a moment ago, and I'll say it again. Executive orders. Now, Republicans and Democrats have both done executive orders. They have. There's an abusive process, though, sometimes. And I'll say this, by the way. I said it a while ago. Republicans, I talked about the fact that not all Republicans are conservative. By and large, I will say this. The Republican Party beats the Democrat Party in terms of conservatism, hands down. I would vote Republican every single time for that very reason. But all that to say, executive orders. What is that? Well, what it basically means is the executive branch has the authority to issue some regulatory or directions that the other executive branches have to put into place, whether it be in the form of a regulation or something like that. Well, Biden is way outstepped his authority here. But interesting piece, though. I was doing a little research, and I found that Bret Baier from Fox News, apparently he's just finished a book that's coming out on Ulysses S. Grant. I did not know this. He said that Grant had been the master of executive orders, issued 217 executive orders during his term, which was a record. 217. And he goes on to talk about that. And some of them got beaten down pretty hard. But one of the things that Bret Baier says is, he says that presidents have grappled with the extent of executive power throughout our history, and many have found, as Grant did, that executive orders allow them to govern more cleanly without the messy wrangling with Congress. Okay, I get that. You got stuff you want to do, and Congress won't help you. But nonetheless, and then he goes on to say, one of the most dramatic instances of this was FDR's executive order on the internment of Japanese Americans after Pearl Harbor. That's right. An action that was unchallenged at the time, but has since been declared one of the most shameful and unconstitutional orders to ever emanate from a White House. That was an executive order. I did not realize that until I read this article. You see that executive orders can have the effect of dramatically impacting people's lives, even to the point of limiting their freedoms, like the Japanese Americans that were interned or taken into captivity during World War II. An over-reliance, Bret Baier says, on presidential orders conveys a lack of confidence in the equal branches of government. Biden's argument, he says, that a relatively small minority is thwarting the will of the people is one that has been made many times before in our history, but to little effect constitutionally. Meaning, you cannot say, well, there's a few people in Congress who are just getting in my way of getting progress done. It doesn't work that way. That's exactly what the founding fathers were trying to avoid, is the idea that one executive could say, I want more authority and you're in my way, therefore I'm going to act outside of the constitutional provisions that are otherwise mandated to me. Folks, we have rights. And I'm just saying, you know, right side ruffians, you got to speak up. And right now what we're seeing, this vaccine mandate, I am not anti-vax, all right? I'm going to get into what I call the COVID wars here in a few minutes and talk about a few things on this. But I'm not anti-vax, but I am anti-mandate. I am anti-mandate. This is wrong. And this is one that we have to speak out on. And if you have not contacted your elected officials, if you have not made your opinion heard, you need to. Because they need to know. And I'm talking about at all levels. You need to contact your mayors. And they'll say, well, I've got nothing to do with that. Yes, you do, mayor. Yes, you do. You can set yourself up, if you want to, as a sanctuary city that encourages your chamber of commerce not to go down that road. Mayor, you can. You can also go ahead and say, state senator or hey, state representative, I want you to make the case down in Montgomery that this is something the state of Alabama should resist, and you should give the attorney general whatever he needs to make that fight. Do it. Call them and let them know. Let them hear from their constituents. How about this? How about, business leaders in my area, I'd like to come speak to the Chamber of Commerce and encourage you as a citizen in this area not to go down this road. And they'll tell you, we got to run our business the way we run our business. That's fine. I'll take my business elsewhere. Oh, what do you mean? I won't deal with a company that puts people out of work because of a medical determination. Oh. Or how about this? Call your religious leaders in your community and let them know that right now what is happening is that some businesses, and according to what I read recently, the Biden administration, they've decided they will decide what is a religious exemption to the vaccine. Did you hear that? Whatever happened to the old argument of separation of church and state? I mean, whatever happened to the idea that freedom of religion is guaranteed in the Constitution? oh, you're going to tell me what my religious exemption should be. Well, no. How about this? Faith leaders in your community, how about you speak out? Wouldn't it be amazing to see an open letter to the local newspaper signed by a group of pastors who call upon the leadership in the business community and in government to not get in the business of deciding what constitutes freedom of religion and what constitutes a religious exemption to a vaccine? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody has a right to a voice in this concept. Do not think that the only ones who can make a difference are people like, well, you know, the Attorney General, I don't know him, or I'm not the Attorney General, I can't do it. Everybody has a voice in this. Everybody. And all you right side ruffians out there, dissect this argument into places and go and talk to these faith leaders, these business leaders, these local elected officials, these state elected officials, and your congressman and your senator, and let them know how you feel about it. Because if you don't, then if you sit idly by and shrug your shoulders and figure somebody else will figure it out for you, it may never get figured out. And that's why the Japanese were interned, Japanese Americans were interned at the beginning of World War II, and no one said boo about it. Don't let it happen on your watch. Don't let it happen on your watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back to talk about the COVID wars going on all around us. Right back. We'll be right back.